praise God for this time, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way you move in this place. We give him glory. Amen? Are the children of God still awake? All right. Amen. Amen? All right. All right. Great. Before we get into the word, I just want to share something with you for two reasons. One for prayer and one for celebration. One of our own, as you know, the Sin family, Hubie and Vicky and their children and their son Daniel's here with us today, have been a part of our ministry and are with us now in ministry. And this Tuesday, Hubie's book is coming out, Tales of a Wandering Prophet. So he was already on the Jim Baker Show taping this past weekend to promote it, and it's going to be on TBN this week, I think, is what he said after they edit everything, TBN or Daystar. And it was an awesome thing. Like I said, it comes out this Tuesday. But along with this unbelievable blessing, they need prayer. The whole family needs prayer. Literally, as soon as the taping was done, the enemy attacked physically. And it's strictly a spiritual attack. There's no way it's not spiritual. The enemy attacks came, and Hubie ended up in the hospital. He's there right now. But he's okay. They're just keeping him for testing that they will do, finish up tomorrow, and should be released. But keep him and his family in prayer, because the enemy is not liking what God is doing in their lives. So keep them, because he's got a couple of interviews this week. Next week he'll be on Daystar, traveling to Texas. So he's going to begin sort of a book tour to promote and to just share his testimony that's in this book. And you can pick it up on Amazon, any of those places, even Barnes & Noble, beginning Tuesday. Or you can, in August, we have him scheduled to come and speak, and we'll have an official book signing and books available here as well, too. So if you want to jump ahead and get it now, you can bring your book then, and he'll be glad to sign it. Just don't put it on eBay, at least for another 30 years, and then it'll be good. but anyway, it's an honor to be a part of this ministry, and it's also an honor for us to be a part of their lives and be in their covering and prayer as a church. But we also need to really pray for God's hand of protection on him and his family and travel mercies. So just keep them in your prayers. But right now, if you would raise your Bibles with me, let's give God glory for his word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me with those very same Bibles to Proverbs 13:22. We started a few weeks ago this series called Heritage to Legacy. And our key verse, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Good man is leaving those things God has meant for us. We talked about what it means to establish a heritage in the first time we met and talked about this. And we talked about how spiritual foundation is what we're referring to when we establish this heritage. And that spiritual foundation in God is what gives us our inheritance that we pass on in the legacy we leave. And we establish that heritage, and it's founded in love and established in His Spirit. And last time, 2 weeks ago, we began talking about acquiring the inheritance, part two. First one was heritage. Part two was acquiring the inheritance, and part three will be our legacy. So we started talking about establishing that inheritance, and we talked about acquiring it through Christ is one way of acquiring it. It has to be acquired through Christ as being adopted sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. So today we're going to talk about The second way of acquiring it, and that is through righteous living. Through righteous living. See, what we are doing, and I didn't realize I shared this a couple of weeks ago till my wife reminded me. I used the term, we're breaking new ground several times. And I didn't realize that how prophetic that statement came out and how prophetic it was, because it was not in my notes. This was one of those things the Holy Spirit just poured out of my mouth more than one time. Because we are breaking new grounds. And in this community, in this church doesn't even look like the church it looked like a year ago. Thank you to the glory of God. But we're also breaking new ground in our community and what we're doing. And some of us are establishing heritage now, a foundation now. So we are breaking new grounds in our lives personally and in our families. We're establishing a heritage today. And as we've been saying, it does not matter what the legacy of your family has been to this point. Today's the day you pick up that spiritual shovel and you start digging a new foundation. And you establish that heritage today. Because within that is your inheritance that God has for you. So you're breaking new ground. You have broken new ground. That does not mean we walk away from that new ground. We keep digging it. We keep building on it. We keep establishing it and strengthening it. And we attain our inheritance through righteous living, beginning with Ephesians 4, 1. Beginning with Ephesians 1, 11 through 14 says this. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. We have been purposed, created with a purpose, predestined with a specific purpose of Him who works all things for the counsel of His will. In other words, for what He establishes. What His heart, what He's already established in heaven is meant to break free and manifest itself in our lives today. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted. See that word? Trust and purpose come together. It's His purpose, but we are trusting in His purpose. We don't freak out and turn away when the going gets tough. We trust in His purpose. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth. You trusted in the word of the truth, that inheritance that is there for you, that heritage that He established for you. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's part of your inheritance. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So stay in that seal. Don't deny the Holy Spirit. You maintain it through righteous living, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. See, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in salvation, amen? But also, as we live on earth, we live in the power of the Holy Spirit that works through us, that seals us in day-to-day righteous living, that empowers us in day-to-day righteous living. I cannot be an overcomer. I cannot be an achiever of God's purpose without the seal of the Holy Spirit in my life, without Him flowing through me and in me. And I need to trust that, who is the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. What does that mean? Until we get the full inheritance, when we get to heaven, He is our seal. He is the mark that we walk with every day and maintaining the inheritance that we have in the way we live. in our righteous living, living for God. Righteous living means living in right standing with God. That's what the word righteous means, to be in right standing with God. So we walk in that. So we have to trust in the Holy Spirit in our lives and trust in the purpose God has predestined us into. And see, I'll be the first to tell you, it's uncomfortable sometimes. Today, it may have been uncomfortable for someone to stand up and say, well, my hands are tingling, but I've never laid my hands on somebody to pray over them. Might have been uncomfortable for someone to feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to get up to be prayed over. But you know what? That's the Holy Spirit working in us. Maybe uncomfortable for you to go knock on your neighbor's door and invite them to something, but if the Holy Spirit is promising, is leading you to do this, this is part of that. It's your predestined call. It's your purpose as a Christian. It's part of the badge you wear in the seal of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, I read an article this week, very, very interesting, and most of you know me. No, growing up in the 80s, I was totally in contemporary Christian music. That was my youth group. That was my spiritual lifeline. That was my spiritual blood, okay? Because I was attending a church that wasn't that exciting to me spiritually. And I was the only kid in my age bracket, and it was hard for me. So my desire to seek the Word of God and seek the presence and even worship in a contemporary way before there was contemporary worship was Striper, Bloodgood, Petra, Neon Cross, Barren Cross, White Cross, bunch of other crosses, even Christian thrash like Deliverance, and some of those other hardcore heavy metal, in addition to Sandy Patty, Amy Grant, all that stuff. But the article I read this week was what killed contemporary Christian music. And what they were talking about is used to be a $40 billion a year industry. Now it's down to 17. Why? But what they did say is they separated from worship music. And the one thing the article lacked that the Lord kind of revealed to me, and we've been talking about this for over a year now, this generation is a show-me generation. It's an experiential generation. It's a prove-it-to-me generation. This is the time. If it's not real, if it's not tangible, if I don't feel it, taste it, touch it, see it with my own eyes, talking to me about it is not good enough. And contemporary Christian music was great, but what it does is it talks about God. It talks about the things of God. Worship music facilitates an experience, an encounter, a relationship. And that's what we're talking about here. We're trusting in the purpose of God. And in order to do that, we have to experience the presence of God and with the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we need to act upon it as well. We don't just sit here and receive and then sit back down. We move, we act upon it. That's part of our righteous living, our obedience as in our inheritance, how we maintain our inheritance. Paul even said, I can't stop preaching the gospel. That was his purpose, and that's what he trusted the Holy Spirit to work in. He said, you might as well just choke me and stop me from breathing if I can't preach the gospel. He knew this was his predestined purpose and call. But he also knew he had to trust the Holy Spirit, especially when he's half dead, raised back to life in one town, goes to another town, then decides by the Holy Spirit, God has a sense of humor, to bring him back to the same town that they just killed him, tried to kill him in. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. We're trusting in what He's doing. That's our obedience and our faithfulness in maintaining our inheritance here on earth as we walk by faith. We walk led by the power of the Holy Spirit, even in uncomfortable things. very uncomfortable things sometimes. Getting out of that comfort zone, doing things that we don't normally do. But we step in faith. We move boldly in that faith. Why? Because we trust the Holy Spirit. We trust the Holy Spirit. We trust the Holy Spirit and the purpose we've been called. Whether it's the grand purpose of our life or the moment of the day. We trust in it. If the prompting is there, we act. We don't feel the prompting and go, let me pray about it for 24 hours. We trust. I mean, we test it with the Word of God and the character of God in all things. We always have to test it and ask the Holy Spirit, is this your will, Lord? Is this your heart? But you know what? When we're in tune with God, we know. We know it's His will. And we know it's His heart. So we trust and it's in the Holy Spirit and we trust in the purpose. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it to God, not to men. Because guess what? They don't have your inheritance. They don't have enough stuff to leave an inheritance for you. If anything, you'll be getting the broken up donkey, broke down donkey and carriage that requires more money put into it than being a blessing. But the Holy Spirit has what we need. We trust in the Lord our God for that inheritance. One of the things God has really been working with me a lot on, because it is a weakness, or has been a weakness in my life, is authority and leadership. I tend to not want to be confrontative. I tend to not want to lead when there's somebody that's got a more stronger personality than me, because I've always struggled in my life with insecurity and self-defeating thoughts. And Lord has been just working layer by layer, layer on these things where I'm learning to confront and to lead and to say no or yes or maybe or whatever and do different things in different ways to be bolder as I grow in my destiny and trust Him in teaching me how to do these things so that I can walk in this element of my inheritance. Even yesterday alone, as my wife and I were praying in the morning, I had to just, you know, a lot of this has to do, as we said, with, in a way, generational curses. Things that are passed down from generation to generation, we need to cut off and break new ground today. And what I realized that there's something within me, I had to confess. I just had to stop and say, Lord, I confess to you for the times I've abdicated my leadership role and my authority, whether it's in my home or in my church or in my workplace or wherever, where you are calling me to step up and do something, but whether it's insecurity or fear in my own self-defeating thoughts, I back down. So I had to repent of that right there and then, and did it right in my bedroom. And then receive the boldness and God of God and the courage of God. Just ask for it. Lord, I repent of what I have done. Today is a new day. Then moving forward, I will no longer abdicate my authority or leadership or calling or purpose that you have called me to do, whether it's momentarily or in the grand scheme of things, because in your spirit, I will be led. And just break that off and break new ground. Why? Because my inheritance comes from the Lord, not from man. Man will keep me and keep us in the state we've been in. We will never grow, never change. But God has called us to a greater inheritance. And guess what? The legacy I want to leave behind in the inheritance I leave for is that of courage in the Lord. Of authority in the name of Jesus Christ. That nothing can get in the way of the Lord in my life as I press into him and his kingdom and seek his face with all my heart, soul, strength, mind, and hands, feet, toes, whatever, with everything that I am, because my inheritance is from the Lord, for I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord. Can we make that dedication tonight, today? Can we make that declaration? I serve the Lord. My inheritance is from the Lord. I serve him. Amen. Proverbs 20:21, an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Think about that one for a second. God, are we doing something apart from God? See, we talked about in Ephesians 1, 11 through 14, we trust in the Holy Spirit and trust in the Holy Spirit in the purpose of God. It's like saying, all right, God, you called me to do this, so I'm ready to go with you, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to just go ahead and do it. I can't wait on you any longer, Lord. Come on, hurry it up. I guess I'm just going to take it in my own hands. You know what that is? That's not trusting the Holy Spirit. That's human insecurity with a controlling spirit, where I need to be in control because I'm so insecure that I can't, that if I trust you, I'm going to feel just weak. And I start to doubt. Whereas if I trust the Lord, I'm trusting the Lord. And I will wait. The Lord spoke to me in 2007. Put an addition on your house because I'm bringing you a family. 4 years later, Lord, I'm still waiting. But I trust it. Wasn't easy, but I trust it. Did not date around. Waited for it to happen the way God wanted it to happen. And it happened. Now we have been spoken to. We're having children. We're going to trust the Lord. We've been married 3+ years. We're trusting the Lord, and we're going to do it his way. Not going to go to any doctors unless the Holy Spirit directly prompts us. And right now, says, no, trust me. You trust the Lord. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. You do things God's way, it's the right way. We live our lives God's way now. We establish, again, that heritage of how to live for those that are watching, those who are around us, so that it can be done right, and they will know how to do it right. And we will have more to pass on. Somebody wins the lottery. They want their cash right away. After taxes, they'll be lucky to get half of it. But if you take it in increments over time, it would be more and it would be blessed. I'm not saying go play the lottery. I'm just using that as an example. You're trusting in the Lord. You're not rushing God or doing things in your own strength. But who do I serve? I serve the Lord. I trust the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 17:2 says, a servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. We're adopted sons and daughters of God. We may not be by blood in heritage of Jewish descent, of Israelite descent, but every one of us in here who's accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior are adopted sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. And when we do things God's way, we righteous living, trusting in the Holy Spirit, trusting in the purpose that God has for us, we will share in the inheritance as brothers and sisters, as one of God. So this is acquiring it. How do you acquire it? But how do you maintain it? I want to look at Ephesians 1:15 through 20 real quick. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope, know what is the hope of his calling, what are his riches of the glory of his inheritance as in the saints, that you would know these things. And right now, I'm going to stop today, and we're going to get into maintaining it more next week. Maintaining that inheritance. We're going to revisit this verse. But today, that you give you the spirit of wisdom. Just want to focus on this real briefly. And revelation in the knowledge of him. That the spirit of wisdom be upon us and the revelation of the knowledge of him. That's going to lead to our trusting him. Trusting him and his purpose. Shared this 100 times. One of my favorite verses, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Trusting in him, putting my heart next to his and saying, okay, Lord, however we get there, I trust in the journey you are taking me in. I just trust it now and I'm going to trust it 10 years from now. No matter what happens in between, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust in your purpose, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Today, excuse me, earlier today as we were praying, I felt like one of the things the Holy Spirit did was he opened up hearts and set people on this new journey and prompting us to trust in that purpose. Felt specifically led that we needed to pray in the Spirit because we wanted the Spirit to break free. And there's power in the heavenly language of God. And new revelations came forth. Doubt in certain areas were relieved. New ground, again, was broken in some of our lives that we can now begin to build what was meant to be built all along. God's got the blueprint. He already established the blueprint of what was meant to be built in our lives, in our church, in our families, in our neighborhoods. Today is this day we start following his rules. We start following his instructions. We start trusting, even when it may not make sense to the mind, the eyes, the ears, or the flesh. Maybe it may not make sense to the feelings, but we're trusting in the Holy Spirit. May not make sense logically, but argue that with the Holy Spirit and see how far you get. God's wisdom is beyond our own. So today is the day. I'm going to ask Diane if you would begin to play for us. What we're going to do is we're going to stand up and we're going to get into the Spirit once again. We're going to get into the presence of God. And as God is ministering to you, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit those questions. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. What is he saying? What does he want you to do? And then just I want you to rest in the Spirit for now, you and God, but then in a moment I'm asking you to do something different. But right now, just go before the Lord, just you and him right now. Listen to the Holy Spirit.